Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, and we thank you for this morning. It was sharp but sweet, and Lord, help us also to come into that same spirit that you said that you saw the people over there. They were just perfect love and really sweet. And so, Lord, we just pray for our own spirits. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And this evening we're going to speak from Satan's Eden again. This is 130. And we're going to continue in watering the spirit of your mind. So I'm just going to read some quotes to start with. Brother Brown said, "What think ye of Christ?" He said, "And if the right mental attitude, you just take the right mental attitude towards any divine promise, watch it materialize." See, no matter how long or how it looks, if it's impossible, if God said so, He makes it possible. So remember one thing, you don't make it possible, but God makes it possible. Now, when word becomes flesh in India trip, he said, every word in the Bible is God's thoughts laid out in seed form. That if received into the human being and spoken by the same thought that materialized in the Bible, brings the thing to pass. See what I mean? How powerful could the church be? The Bible said, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Now, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now your thoughts, if they become expression, like God said, let there be a world. Before it could be a world, it had to be a thought. So God in the creation created the world by his thought first, then spoke it, and the thought expressed became material. See what I mean? What you can express it by mental conception, but it becomes a real revelation of God that you see it before it happened and express it in the word form, that word takes a hold and becomes material, a thought expressed. Oh my, how God could, you see, if your heart and your mind is so and infilled with God's spirit until your thoughts become his thoughts, and that's their key, your thoughts become his thoughts. Amen. There you are. When your mind and your leading and your guiding becomes a direct place or a direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit that's moving your mortal being, oh my, what kind of people ought we to be? If the very Holy Spirit has so embodied or empowered that you don't use your own thoughts, you don't use your own mind, you don't use your own opinion, but the Holy Spirit has so built until your thought and your being is God's Spirit expressing itself through you, what kind of a church would we be? What kind of a people would we be this morning if this Branham Tabernacle this morning was so filled with the presence of God? Why, when you didn't even use your own mind, didn't even use your own thought, didn't even know alternative of your own, but just to be led by the Spirit, as a man thinketh. It has to become a thought before it can become a word, and the word expressed materializes. I believe in my heart here that I'm a Christian because I have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. If I don't cry, if I don't move, if I don't do a thing in my heart first, I believe that Christ died for me in my stead. Amen. I accept it as a Christian. I believe it as a Christian. Then it's in my heart. Then I express it in a word. I am a Christian. Hallelujah. Then I start walking as a Christian, talking as a Christian, living as a Christian, because as a being as a Christian, and by my fruits, I'm recognized by the world as a Christian. Hallelujah. So Brother Branham is basically telling us step by step how it's done. First, it's got to be in your heart. Then in your mouth. Then it'll come forth in your actions. Now, John 12:24 tells us, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." And again, John 16:7, we read, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Now, see, it's all up to him what he has done, okay? Now, Brother Branham spoke of the original seed being the Word of God, and he mentioned in the rapture message that this life has been coming forth since Luther's message and on up through Wesley's and continuing up through the Pentecostal message until it finally comes to a rest in the intelligence, which is the very mind of God back in the people. Now, in looking at these three thoughts here, we see, number one, that the seed contains the life of the original. All right? That's 2 Peter 1:3-4, according to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. Now, how do we become partakers of the divine nature? It's through his word. That's what he says. All right, number two, the same life that was sown in the original seed, which is the very life that was in Jesus Christ, shall, that's Genesis 1:11, the law of reproduction, every seed after its kind. And three, that life shall return in this hour, not only among the people, but it shall enter into the people as well. And that's just a wonderful thing to think about. Right. That's Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear at his appearing, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. All right. He said the complete seed comes forth in its complete body, which is the complete life that was in the seed has got to come back in the human flesh in the bride, in this hour. So we are speaking of the original seed and the original word life back in human flesh again. And that is why we're told our new birth comes by a seed, which is the incorruptible word of God. Now, in fact, Jesus said in John 6:63, my words are spirit and they are life. Okay, so his words are not only life, but they're spirit as well. And so we see that the word is a seed carrier of eternal life. Now, this afternoon, I would like to look at this thought of the word being a seed in a little different way than perhaps you have heard before. Since we are talking about the word as a seed, I would like to break down to our own personal level for a few minutes. And we shall subtitle this message, The Garden of Your Mind. Okay? This will actually, we're going to be in this for about 5 sermons total. All right. Now, we know that the word is a seed then, right? Then if the word is a seed, there is a life that is in that seed. Every seed is a carrier of life. We know this by definition. But what is a word? The answer is thoughts. Before there were any thoughts, there were thoughts. Then the word is an expression of the thoughts. So in essence, the thoughts within the word are the life of the word. Is that right? Okay. In other words, if I said to you, Salgeth, you might understand what I'm saying because that word is Norwegian. It means for sale. But if I speak to you in words that you understand, then when I say the word sale, it brings up it brings up many things to your mind. Immediately, your mind goes into gear and you begin to think of other things which are associated with a sale. If you are in real estate, you think of a house that might be on the market. If you are just a common, ordinary person, you might immediately think, sale of what? So you can see that a word is not just a guttural sound, but it really has some significance. All right. Now, what if I said the word sale, but I said S-A-I-L? All right. In your mind, you're already envisioning a sale and a sale. All right. So words actually, you know, they say words are one picture is 1,000 words. Okay. So 1 Corinthians 14:16 says, now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sound, how shall we know when it is pipe or harp? In other words, how many ever saw the movie The Gods Must Be Crazy? All right. You know, the man spoke like, he used a clicking of his tongue, and he actually communicated to one another of his tribe by the clicking of his tongue. Now, you and I hear, and we got to think he is crazy, and he's not a god, he's just a man, but he's crazy. But, no, they're actually communicating to each other through the clicking of the tongue. So likewise, except ye utter by the tongue words easily to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian to me. So, you know, if you came into this room and we asked you to speak here, and you get up to the pulpit and you start, or even you're just speaking in tongues, whether it be angelic or being other human tongues, whether it be Spanish or French or whatever, the people wouldn't understand you. All right, so it needs an interpreter, right? Well, it needs someone to clarify what is being said and then to bring forth that to the people. Now, what Paul is saying here is that every sound has some significance in some language. Just to speak words which have no meaning does not do anything for anyone. But when we speak in words which can be understood, then those words can and will be brought forth. It'll bring forth fruit. Now, Brother Vale quoted Michener, who said when words have no meaning, then basically everything's over. I mean, when you come to the place, like many of the liberal-minded people do, they can take things that are, to you, means one thing, to them means another. You know, like my father told me, he said, you know, we used to say, you know, when we said the word joint, we meant your finger. But then in the 1950s and 60s, it became an apartment. All right. And then in the 1970s, it became a marijuana. So, you know, the word joint means three things to three different people, even though it's the same word. Okay. Well, that's why the word of God can mean something to you and it means something to someone else. If you have God's way of thinking, have the mind of Christ, you will understand what the message is. But if you don't have the mind of Christ, then you can't understand the things of God. Now, in Jeremiah 6:19, we read, "Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it." So here God tells us that our thoughts actually will produce a fruit. And he also says that God will bring judgment. He will bring the fruit of their thoughts. It will just become nothing. And that's exactly what is happening today. We are seeing more insanity among us than we ever have at any time. And now we know that man is likened to a tree, as in Psalm 1:3 says, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." So, you know, what is this season's fruit supposed to be? Your Brother Brown said the fruit is a teaching of the season. All right? Now, Noah didn't have the fruits that you have. All right? Wesley did not have the fruits that you have. You know, justification under Luther, you know, you have it, but you have more than what he had, okay? So here we see that a righteous man is likened to a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, and we are told that his fruit will bring forth in its proper season, and his leaf shall not wither. Now, what does God mean by this metaphor? Well, we know that God likens his word to water and eternal life to the river of life that flows from the throne of God, as we see in Revelation 22:1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Next we see that this man is planted. That means he cannot be moved, but he is fixed in his place, which means he is rooted in. And his roots are reaching out for the water of life. And he is living off the water of eternal life. And of course we know that these waters are life. And we know it is the word of God. We're told by Paul in Ephesians 5:26 that we are washed by the washing of the water by the word. And since this tree, a righteous man, has a good water supply, his leaf will never wither. As Peter said, we are born again of a seed that will not perish, and the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Remember I told you this morning, I read a quote where Brother Bram said that you have constantly got to water the word. And he said you water it with the word. In other words, when word is piled upon word, it will bring to pass, and it will actually give you a dynamic revelation. You might have come with a mental faith, but now you have something that's quickened, okay? And so we see in this speaks of eternal life, for the life is in the tree, will never wither. But I want you to also see that the greatest thing about this tree is that it is constant, and it will always bring forth its fruit in the proper season. And so we see that the fruit is tied to a season. Just like I've told you, you don't plant winter wheat in the spring. You plant it in the fall. It has to germinate over the wintertime and comes up in the springtime and is harvested in June. You cannot plant certain things just any old time you want to. You can't plant a pumpkin in October. It'll die on the vine. You see? So the fruit is tied to a season. I want you to get that in your thinking, because we are living in the season. All right? It's a season of fruit. Now we hear Jesus speak of knowing of a man by his fruit in Matthew 7:15-20. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravens and wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? Even so every tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. And Brother Brown told us in Anointed Ones at the End Time, the fruit here is the teaching of the season. So if it is a teaching of season, then a good tree cannot bring forth the teaching from another season. And neither can a corrupt tree bring forth the teaching for the season. You see? So that kind of tells you where they're at. There's many imposters even among us in this message. Now, what does Brother Brandt mean, or what does he mean by this? You will know him by his fruits. A closer examination of the scripture allows us to see that you will be able to tell who and what a man is by the very fruit. Then it is the fruit that identifies and declares the man. Now remember, he begins by warning us about false prophets, and he calls them wolves in sheep's clothing, but then talks about fruit. He's using a metaphor to get a point across. But what these fruits that he is speaking about, some would have you think that these are the fruits of the spirit or the fruits of the flesh. But Brother Bram told us in a sermon on Anointed Ones at the End Time, the fruit is the teaching of the season. Now, therefore, we must ask ourselves, what is teaching but the very thoughts of a person made known through words? Therefore, we break down this thought of what a man's fruit is. We find out that it is his thoughts, what he is thinking. And we find a righteous man will have the right thoughts for the right season. Or better said, a righteous man will have thoughts that are a correct match for the season in which he is living. Those who were elect in Moses' day did not look to Noah's message for the bread of life in their day. They received Moses' message in Moses' day. In Jesus' day, those who were looking to Moses missed him when he came. And so we see that the righteous man is like a tree that is planted and rooted in the waters or the word of eternal life, and their thoughts will be in season for their day, and therefore they shall never wither. We begin a week ago speaking on the water of the seed thoughts that are in your mind, and tonight I would like to continue where we left off. Actually, we began this morning, okay? Now, to further understand how that our mind is like a garden, we should look forward to the book of Proverbs 23:7. Here we read, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Therefore a man is what he thinks in his heart." Now, that's why I tell people, don't ever, ever, ever say, "Well, I must be foolish virgin," or "I think that I'm foolish virgin," because you know what? You speak it, you're going to be it. Start claiming that you are the bride of Christ. All right? Now, therefore, a man is what he thinks in his heart. Now, we already have shown that our thoughts are likened to the life in a seed. And listen, people might say things stupid like that, but that's the devil in you. Like Martin Luther said, he'll come into your branches, but just don't make him, or just don't let him make a nest. In other words, just don't let him stay there. Just kick them right out. When you hear thoughts like that, they're contrary to the word, just kick them right out, okay? Now, we already have shown our thoughts are likened to the life in a seed. Therefore, we conclude that a man is literally what he thinks, and therefore his character is a sum of all of his thoughts. As every plant springs forth from a seed that was hidden in the earth and could not have began without a seed, so too every action that we do, and these are very important words, that's why they're in bold. Every action that we do springs forth from a seed that was planted in our minds as a thought. That's why these mass murders are nothing but a bunch of kids who have spent their time on video games shooting other people, and then their actions carried out by shooting other people. You see, they got to do it in their mind first, then they do it. Therefore, our actions manifest what thoughts lay in our heart. That is why Brother Brown said the mark of the beast is not a mark on the hand or the forehead, but rather in the forehead and in the thoughts and in his hands, therefore in his actions. What he thinks and what he does therefore identifies that he is a beast. That is your mark. Mark of the beast. You see, it's the characteristics of the beast, okay? From the mark of the beast, he said, now you see what the mark of the beast is. It's the mark of apostasy. In other words, you don't believe the word. It's a person who just thinks that, well, I belong to a church and I'm just as good as the next fellow, and am I not belong to this church? And you realize, well, your church organization that you're depending on, where it come from. Do you realize the Bible said he that worships the beast receives his mark or the letter of his name? Now watch, in his forehead or hand, that's knowledge or deeds. That don't mean that you got a big tattoo on your face. It don't mean that to be such. It's not talking of the outward, it's talking of the spiritual. You watch him and see what he knows about the scripture, listen to it and see where he goes with it. If any man don't have this doctrine, there's no light in him, the Bible says. See, watch where he goes to. Watch what he does. You say, well, I'm a Protestant. Yes, sir, I belong to this certain church. Yes, sir. And on Sunday, you have just about enough respect for it to come in out of the rain. He goes down, instead of going to prayer meeting, you'll close up the church and sit and watch TV. He goes here and he drinks and carries on and acts like the rest of the world, yet he belongs to the church. Remember, that's the mark of sin. Now listen, right in this message, and I know the church, and I could say names, but I won't. But there, I'll tell you what, Brother Reggie Pugh, I will say names. Brother Reggie Pugh told me his son went to a certain city in a certain place. And their message church, they claimed to follow Brother Vail even. And you would expect that they'd be living the life. But you know what? He said every person who attended that church that was at the party that they held got drunk. Every person. I had another brother tell me, yeah, my wife was involved with wife swapping with a deacon in that church, and she left me for another man. Now you tell me that is a mark of God or the mark of Satan. You tell me that they're preaching the truth or they're preaching their version of the truth. You see, like the serpent came to Eve and gave her his version, which is thou shalt not surely die. You know, in Genesis 1:11, we saw the law of reproduction that every seed must bring forth after its kind. And you're going to bring forth either God or the devil. All right? Therefore, the life that is in the seed must become manifest. And therefore, whatsoever life is in the seed will come forth in an outward manifestation in due season. Our thoughts then are the seeds of our actions. And therefore, if a man is righteous, it is because he has righteous thoughts. Proverbs 12:5. The thoughts of a righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. Therefore, what distinguishes a righteous man from a wicked man is thoughts first and then his actions following. Psalm 10:4 says, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Now, Brother Ram taught us the simple principle that before you can actually do the sin act in your flesh, you must first think it in your mind. Therefore, the greatest battle ever fought is in your mind. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we know we have had another short sermon, yet Lord, it's a very good sermon. And actually, because it's under 25 minutes, it's a perfect sermon. So anyway, we just thank you, Lord, and we ask that, these few words about just helping us to understand the nature that we have. Is it reflecting you, or is it reflecting the devil? And let's help us just to think about that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.